Hey everybody, this is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpson siblings, and we were supposed to post this episode like a month ago.
And we talk about the Simpsons all the time.
Yes, we do. And
gotta keep the tradition.
And life happens. Somebody had to go and, you know, like move. So
that handsome jerk.
No. Curse those handsome devils. But yeah, life stuff happens. We were originally going to put this as like our season finale and then take a break during the summer. And instead we just took half of our break in the summer. And then now we're doing the finale. And then we'll do a little bit more of a break because life.
It's our podcast and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, just, you know, sue us. If you
please
want.
Don't.
No.
Money down. It was not scripted.
No, it was not. We just know each other far too well. But yeah, we are going to get some Patreon stuff out soon, too. We've got a blooper reel. We've got, we're going to do some little chats. I don't know, maybe I'll just call them little chats, and we're just going to pick a subject, Simpsons related, and we're just going to chat about it.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. We're going to have little cups of tea. We're going to be chatting. And, yeah. So, yeah, check us out on patreon.com/SimpsonSibs. Big thanks to Timothy Burleson. As always, we love you, Timmy.
Woo!
And with that out of the way, how about we get started on Summer of 4'2". Which is
season 7, episode 25.
It was written by Dan Greaney, directed by Mark Kirkland, originally aired May 19th, 1996, guest starring Christina Ricci as Erin.
And then we have the great chalkboard scene of There Is Not One.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where it just kind of gets right into the episode.
Yep.
And then the couch gag, they all come in as a fax spit out by the couch. And I think a lot of our listeners may not know what a fax is. I don't know.
I don't know. They might know about the Syncofax machine.
Oh, yes. Great job.
Which is very important. Yes. Man, this is one of my summer faves. We had a little Twitter poll. And this was what won. It was between this, Lisa Sachs, and Bart of Darkness. And this one won by a pretty good margin. And so I guess, whether you agree that this is one of those great Summer Simpsons episodes.
Yeah, I remember this one coming on, too, because, you know, the TV station would just go through the rotation like crazy. And we'd watch them all the time. And I always liked when this one came on, because I feel like it's got some conflict in it and it's got a good ending and it's got some good building for Lisa. I've always enjoyed this one.
Controversial opinion. I didn't like this one when I was a kid.
Well, I was like,
I don't care about Lisa's social life. I want to get to the funnies. And I didn't really get the nuance at the time, but now as an adult, it's one of my favorites because of its sort of emotional core. But as a kid, I was like, come on, give me, we're Sideshow Bob stepping on the rake, you know?
But yeah, there's always lots of shows that when you rewatch it as an adult, even like you just view it completely differently or you appreciate it more.
Yeah. Like, holy crap. Have you watched Hunchback of Notre Dame as an adult?
No, I'm afraid to now.
Okay. You need to, because damn. Okay. Anyways, I'm on a rant now, but we're starting out with Milhouse's epic sprinkler rant.
Now, I wanted to ask, what is your preference?
I mean, probably we're not doing this next to each other anymore. We're doing this over the internet because someone had to freaking move 45 minutes away. I am doing the motion with my arms. It is the arm flailing, sort of going all over the place one. That's my favorite.
Okay, I always like I think it's the first one that does a
ch-ch-ch-ch. Yeah.
Yeah, because that always reminds me of playing with sprinklers in the backyard.
Yeah, because we did that a lot as kids.
Yeah.
And I remember getting...
mode.
Yeah, I'd get so many little pieces of grass stuck in my feet. And even now, to this day, if I smell freshly cut grass, I think of running around in the sprinklers.
And it's like that water, like, has that, like, yard taste to it.
I'm not gonna discover it. And sometimes it hits you, like, really hard, because we did have that one where it was sort of hyper-powered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good times. But yeah, I was the nerd who was in yearbook in sixth grade. I mean, I know Lisa isn't in sixth grade on this one, but in sixth grade, I was a yearbook nerd.
Yeah. So,
and I remember back then we actually had to like paste the pictures in there and then they would scan them. But nowadays, I'm sure it's all digital now.
I had memories of getting my yearbook one year and it has the index in the back. Mm-hmm. And had everybody's names listed, but no page numbers. So it's just like a list of names and that's it.
Just the names.
Yeah.
I love that. One thing I always ask myself, why doesn't Lisa hang out with the yearbook kids?
I don't know, because they seem like her group and that they're always having fun. They're getting to nerd out together and just do their thing.
Yeah. It just seems like the obvious answer, but she never even tries, I guess. I don't know, maybe it's because they're in different grade as her and they don't really see each other that much, so maybe it just wouldn't work out.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, back at that age, 1 year makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah. And if you live, you know, sort of on different sides of the school boundary, it just doesn't work out. The gag with Milhouse in the start of school kills me every time.
Yes. I love that line. I always forget that it's coming.
And it's like they build it up, too, with like that pacing and the editing. Like, he's so anxious about the clock reaching that point. And then the bell rings.
Goes out. Up yours, Krabappel. Was it Willie brings it back, too?
Yeah. Yep. Well, oh, no, the cop, Lou, brings him back. And then...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think wasn't Willie, like, watching him or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. The scene, though, with Miss Hoover, this is my favorite Miss Hoover scene of all time. Just the fact that she, A, does not care enough to teach them this very important fact about U.S. history, and the fact that she just flat out lies about it. She just wants to get them out of there.
Was President Lincoln okay?
Oh my god. There was a line that I actually never noticed before, where Nelson's talking to Lisa and he says, "Who died and made you boss?" And then she says, like, very sadly, she says, "The publications advisor."
Yeah, I feel like with current Simpsons, there's a lot of scenes, like little bits that are mm-hmm. that I don't remember from watching it as a kid.
Mm, yeah. Just, she looks so sad, and it's like you can piece together the entire, like, timeline of what happened before this just from that one line. Like, something happened to the publications advisor.
I know.
Oh. And God, they make just a great job making you feel bad for her here.
Yeah, it's something that I can definitely see that it would be kind of a thankless job. And she was so excited to get that popularity from it, and it was just turned into nothing.
And you got that scene where she, like, hands the yearbook to that circle of kids, and they all just kind of pass it, and nothing happens. She opens it up, and there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
At the same time, Bart's got this, like, Comic-Con-style line for, like, autographs.
Yeah, it's... I can see him making some good money off that.
Yeah. And Principal Skinner is like, "Wait, is your daughter really named Seymour?"
I love that, too. Like, with all the conflict between Bart and Seymour, even after everything's aside, Seymour still sees him as a cool kid and wants his autograph.
Yeah, and that just shows just how far his popularity goes, that even the principal. Yeah. Oh, man. We've got this scene with Homer and Ned, and I tried to listen to it really carefully, because first of all, he says he's in a rhubarb of a pickle of a jam, which is just beautiful.
It's only something Flanders would say.
And he talks about this jury duty that he has, and he says, like, someone ran into a lawn ornament, it's being charged as a maritime offense.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that one out, too.
What? Oh, my gosh. And so Flanders looks at their septic tank in exchange for letting them stay at his beach house.
Yeah, that's only a way Homer could twist that. Like, you do something for me, and in exchange, you'll do something for me.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, Ned just gives right into it.
Yeah.
We got a little casual homophobia with Marge here, with the guy at the back of the book. Or what does Lisa say? Like, even he's kissed more boys than I have.
Girls, Lisa.
Yeah.
Boys kiss girls.
It's like, Marge. Okay, Marge.
Well, we get kind of two surprising things from Marge, because in a couple of minutes, when they start talking about going to the beach house, Marge says, and you're sure the Flanderses won't be there?
Yeah. Like,
first of all, just, you know, being rude and making sure they're not there, but also calling them the Flanderses.
Yeah. She's got a little rude streak in her that you don't see it super often, but there it is.
Because school's out and she's stuck with Bart and Lisa bickering all day.
Oh my god. Yeah. And we've got Lisa's sort of status quo change here, which is like the whole episode is like a Lisa status quo change. Where she doesn't pack anything in the suitcase.
Yeah, and that's something that once she's committed to it, she's in. Like, there's no turning back.
And she convinces Homer there's something in there. Because he's like, oh, this is really light. She goes, maybe you're getting stronger? Well, I have been eating more. Oh, Homer.
And she knows just how to play with his emotions and just make him believe everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got Milhouse in the car seat, which he just puts up with so much crap in this episode.
I know. More to come on that.
Oh, definitely more to come. I for some reason, I really like this part where they all kind of say goodbye to the town while they leave, and Lisa kind of goes, bye-bye, Lisa Simpson. And it's just a great end to the opening act. Because, like, right after that, it goes to commercial break, and it kind of envelops the whole theme of the episode right there with that line.
And it kind of leaves that sense of anticipation of what's she planning, what's she going to do.
Yeah, it's real nice. I like it. So that's about when we arrive at Little Quagmata Squirmset Port.
I don't know what that means.
And why? Why is it named that? I've always wanted to say it like a little beach house like this, because it's a nice house to be that close to the beach.
Yeah, that's a really nice vacation spot, especially since their only cost was having Flanders look at their septic tank.
That is a good cost. We got Flanders' helpful notes.
Put food in me.
Fill me. With what, Ned? With water.
Yes. He knows.
Yep. Homer's improvisation, his welcome mat swimsuit, just so classy.
Yeah. And the whole place kind of has a creepy vibe, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, well, a Flanders' vibe.
Yeah, like a little too sanitized.
Yeah.
We also get a glimpse of Marge's sort of dependency on Lisa when, like, she tries to sort of put her in little girls' swimsuits and clothes, and then Lisa ends up sort of picking her own thing. And then she goes outside and she says that she wants to hang out with the kids. And Marge sort of sounds disappointed and then immediately switches her dependency onto Maggie.
Yeah, she definitely has a hard time coping with that. And she gets a lot of that social interaction from Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was one thing that I did notice. It's a scene just a few, if we back up like 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where Marge and Lisa are sitting in the bedroom on the beds talking. And there's photos on the wall. And the photo above the bed that Lisa is sitting on has a picture of Maude.
Mm-hmm.
But then every time the angle changes, it's Rod and Todd in the picture.
Ooh, continuity error.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been noticing those things a lot more when I watch them for podcast notes.
Oh, yeah, because you're kind of looking at it. It's less, you're less watching it for enjoyment and less, or and more looking at it to find specific things you might not have seen before.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're watching it just for enjoyment, you're like, you know, whatever.
It's like, you know, whatever. I was so mad. There was a place at the mall that had a shirt that had 90s Lisa on it, and it said that. And they had it, like, on the outside of the store, like, you know how malls are. And yeah. I go inside the store, and they don't have it anymore. And the one that's on display isn't my size.
Oh.
And these are big people problems.
That's a crime.
It is. It really is. As was Homer walking outside with the welcome mat swimsuit.
Yes.
Yes. He got the cops on him pretty quickly. So we've got Bart and Milhouse trying to run into the water, and it's low tide. And Homer's just driving in it. Low tide, boys.
He knows what it is, even.
Yeah. But yet he decides to drive his car through it. I've always been slightly disturbed by this Alice in Wonderland scene.
Yeah, it doesn't really add too much to the story, and it's kind of disturbing.
It's not funny either. It's just kind of, because she's looking at the library, and the books in the library are like enticing her to come in, and then Alice gets like kidnapped by the Mad Hatter at gunpoint, and it's just weird.
Yeah, they can't have all their jokes be winners.
Yeah,
but,
they can't all land, but yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I kind of think the general consensus is maybe that's a kind of throwaway joke.
Yeah. It's interesting to see Lisa here with sort of a fresh restart.
Yeah, I totally get her awkwardness too, because I've been in those situations where you kind of have a reset with a new group. Maybe it's mm-hmm. a different dynamic where everyone's new, everyone's getting to know each other, and you're like, okay, time to start fresh and everything, and then it's just awkward.
Mm-hmm. Especially at her age, and she wants to get it just right, and we get that sort of interruption where that bird flies in front, and she's kind of like, okay, that doesn't count, we're going to try that again.
There's a weird thing she says about, like, you don't control the birds, you will someday.
Yeah! I loved that.
I don't know what that means.
She finally gets to talk to the kids, and you like hanging out? Beats doing stuff. Oh, man. It absolutely gets that sort of 90s slacker sort of thing that was going on back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which completely counteracts Bart's showing off. That just does not work with him.
Yeah, because just the same shenanigans that worked for everyone in Springfield don't work on the beach for him.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, he 110% deserves what he gets right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have the part in this scene where Lisa jumps on the skateboard. Mm-hmm. And she's incredibly awkward. She's trying to be cool. And my notes for this scene, I just wrote, Lisa on skateboard equals me.
Oh, no!
Because that would be totally how I am. on a skateboard, just like being awkward, fumbling all around, trying to be cool, but you know, not really.
Oh yeah, I could never do skateboards either. I need to be holding on to something, or it's not happening. I love the scene with the family minus Lisa plus Milhouse playing board games. I feel like Marge and Homer are so cute here.
I know.
So Marge is all giggly, and Homer is like completely invested in this like stupid dating board game.
And they're just, their reactions when they open the door and the dud is there and it looks just like Milhouse. And Marge is giggling and Homer has this smile that like creeps up on his face, but it's such a joyful, happy, fun smile that we don't see from him too often.
That's like a super popular moment on like the Simpsons Twitter groups, is everyone's like, this is such a smooth animation. Like everyone loves that little smile. It has like its own fan following with good reason.
It looks like you, Point Dexter.
Stand up for yourself. It's so counterintuitive. Oh my God. And of course we've got the, you got the dud dankness.
Yes. Just like,
which is
many of our episodes, we have to reference dankness.
You got to reference the dank. It's one of my like medium favorites, but it's still pretty solid.
You got the dud. That's the beat.
You got the dud. You got the dud. Oh, that's pretty good. I like that. Even though Lisa's sort of, you could argue that Lisa's being fake here, but she is. There are parts of her genuine self that are coming through, like this. This scene where she's sort of at the beach teaching them about different, you know, sea creatures and stuff like that. That is very Lisa, and they're enjoying her company.
Yeah, it's something that I could tell she was like trying to ride a fine line. Like as she got into some of it, they were enjoying it, but mm-hmm. she had to be careful not to push it too far, because once mm-hmm. it started to get too like book smart, then that's when it kind of backfired on her.
Yeah.
And she kind of got carried away with her turning into herself and letting that show. And that's where it kind of backfired in a sense for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got Homer's weird purchases around the illegal fireworks.
Yes, at the the alternate quickie mart.
And I'm not going to list them. He's just like listing all these weird purchases, and he's like, and some illegal fireworks, and also this and that. And we have the not Apu go into the store and say, you can celebrate your nation by blowing up a small part of it.
Well, he ends up buying the M320.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm no expert whatsoever. This is just from searching on Google without even clicking on a result. But okay. I'm finding M320 grenade launcher modules.
What?
Like for use in the U.S. military.
So that's not fireworks. That is something else. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, so Homer's ready to party. And we've got Marge's line when she's looking through the bag. I don't know what you have planned for tonight, but leave me out of it.
I have that written down, too, because it's all the things that he asked for.
Yeah. It's like the magazine is like breast enthusiast or something.
And the M320.
Oh, my God. Well, and slightly before that is another favorite Marge moment when Lisa's friend says, well, your mom's much cooler than my mom. My mom would have been walking in with Rice Krispie Squares and Tang. And she walks in with Rice Krispie Squares and Tang and just very smoothly turns around and walks back.
No change in her expression whatsoever.
Nope. There she goes. It kind of reminds me of the Grandpa Simpson thing where he walks in the door and hangs up his hat and turns around and leaves.
And barks the doorman.
Yeah. Oh boy. This fireworks scene. Oh man, the scene where he's trying to light it. First of all, he asks Bart for a lighter, and he's like surprised when he doesn't have one. And then he tries to light it on the oven. And it's just, the whole thing is like something out of Three Stooges or something, where he just frantically runs around the room and then throws it in the fridge.
The beer!
So he takes it out of the fridge, throws it in the dishwasher, and it explodes and everything just overflows.
And like all the fish bones and stuff are coming up out of the sink.
Oh my god. And you kind of see remnants of the scene in different parts of the rest of the episode too, of like Marge sweeping up or Marge cleaning the dishes.
Yeah, it's a massive mess, and I'm sure it ruined Ned's septic tank. He should really come check that out.
Oh my god! I'm sure he could exchange him staying at the place again for him to check his septic tank. Yeah. I love the visuals on the scene where Lisa's kind of being hoisted up into the air with the fireworks going off in the background.
Yeah.
It kind of captures like one of those moments that you have like oftentimes as a kid where it's just everything just kind of culminates and you're living right in that moment.
Until suddenly.
I, the evil math magician, shall capture all the children and force them to do homework forever.
Just then.
Major glory.
Oh man, that's an old memory.
Oh man, I had to do that. I couldn't help it. Yeah, that's another cool part about this scene is the sort of slow approach of Bart from the distance.
Yeah, I kind of equate it to like when you poke your head around a corner and you see a cat, and you go back and you poke your head around again and they've moved like 10 feet forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just like the look on his face when he brings the yearbook out, and you kind of just feel for Lisa because things, like you said, things are going great. Everything's good. And Bart just has to ruin that and collapse everything. Like right as soon as she catches a break, it's less than a day long.
Yep. Yeah, he just has to mess it up. And I'm trying to remember when exactly the scene happens. I think it might be when he's approaching and he steals Milhouse's glasses to spy on her. And that weird creature comes up to Milhouse.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. And I'm afraid to know.
Because it's slightly terrifying. It looks like a giant tick with spikes and a giant tail.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I love the use of the yearbook as sort of a storytelling device through the whole episode.
Yeah, and it kind of, in my mind, it just reminds you of where we came from. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, Lisa was this kid at school that was having trouble making friends. It just kind of connects the past and the present.
Yeah, and then at the end again too, which we'll get to. I absolutely love threatening Lisa. Like when she's like, when in the next scene where they're eating breakfast and she waits for the exact second that Marge's out of the room and like has Bart by the collar.
Like she has the smarts to know exactly how to get away with that. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish she would stick up for herself more like that and kind of put Bart in his place. So I mean, that would take away a lot of the storytelling stuff, but
yeah,
but it's just how she took control.
And it kind of too, it shows just how much that broke her. Like that was the last straw that she's put up with so much crap, but this was the thing that was over the line. Then we've got that spinny ride because they end up going to the carnival.
Gravitron.
Well, first she sprays him with a water hose, and then they go on the Gravitron. And, of course, Milhouse is just screwed over this whole episode. That's just his theme. And they end up trying to spit at each other on the Gravitron, and Milhouse is in the center of them, and the way gravity just sort of flings it right back at him.
I love it, too, because it wouldn't work both ways.
No.
But, no, this is Milhouse.
Yeah, and this is Simpsons physics, so, you know. Oh, God, as much as Marge isn't the main character in this storyline, she gets a lot of great moments in this episode, and one of my favorites is the whole no need to bump thing with the bumper cars. And the
just have a nice ride.
Look on her face as she's just coasting along. She's content. She's just gonna cruise around for a bit. Yeah. No need to bump. So it's when Lisa's car kind of gets pushed out of the bumper car thing. That's when Bart kind of seems to, I can't tell if he can legitimately feel that he's gone too far or if it's just sort of not fun to him anymore or a combination of the two.
I think he sees her reaction and he realizes what's going on. Like, I feel like he has remorse and realizes, like you said, he has reached that limit of going too far.
Yeah. That's when I think it's implied that he goes to the group of kids and talks to them, or that might be when he brings them the yearbook. But the next scene, they show them decorating the car. All of the kids she was hanging out with decorate the car with all the sea, you know, shells and things like that. And when I was a kid, I thought, oh, that's so cool. I would love to have a car like that. And now that I'm an adult, I can totally get why Homer's angry.
Sweet, merciful crap. My car.
Like, I wonder how long it would take for them to fix that afterwards.
How much paint would peel off?
Yeah.
The line from one of the kids, too, it's so dated. Finish it up and send me a Polaroid.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's so cute. I love it. And and then when they're driving away, like the birds are like pecking at their car and everything.
Yeah, that would just be an annoyance. And I imagine, like, I pictured them trying to go through the car wash and loosen things up and all the like brushes and stuff getting caught in them.
Yeah. But at the end, that's when Bart hands her the yearbook and she sees her autograph page. It's just full of autographs from her new friends, which is just a great way to just tie the whole episode together with the yearbook.
Yeah.
And of course, Milhouse's signature in the corner.
See you in the car.
See you in the car. There's one really great frame that I might draw it up and send it to Timmy, our dear patron saint. I love this frame of Lisa sort of staring fondly at the yearbook, and you see the sunset through the car window.
Yeah, and just kind of showing that out of the whole thing, the friendship was the most she got out of it. Not the beach and the experience, but the friends.
Yeah, and that, even just knowing that, because, you know, childhood friendships can be so fleeting sometimes, just knowing that she's capable of that, that she's worthy of that kind of friendship, because she almost, through a lot of the episode, it almost seems like she feels like something's wrong with her. Like, there's one point where she says, I tried being myself and that didn't work. I tried being someone else and that didn't work either. Just knowing that it's not her fault. It's the people around her, that she needs to be around the right kind of people, and she's worth that kind of love.
Exactly. She can just be herself around them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always got a little, I don't exactly cry at this scene, but I get a little verklempt for some reason at the sort of, what's their name? The Beach Boys, the little Beach Boys song at the end.
Yeah.
It's so innocent. It's like a nice little innocent ending with the little crab walking away with the soda can. And it just kind of brings back memories of fun childhood times and of that whole period of finding yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, it gives you the warm and fuzzies at the end. It's nice.
You like the warm and fuzzies.
It's nice. Okay, so I've got a couple little extras. I've got The Simpsons Complete Guide to Our Favorite Family book. Nice. And I've got some stuff you may have missed. Achievements listed under Lisa's yearbook picture include junior overachievement, record for most hand raises in a single semester, which was 763.
Wow.
They were keeping track of that? I can't picture Ms. Hoover doing that. Most popular student sister, spelling bee queen, camera club, and tidiest locker. In Little Pwagmata Squamsetport, there is a deli called Turn for the Worst, worst spelled W-U-R-S-T, and a newsstand called Gull Things Considered.
Nice.
The episode features the second time someone has been squirted in the face with a water gun intended for a squirt the clown head blow up the balloon carnival booth. Lisa soaks Bart as Nelson soaked Martin in Lisa the Beauty Queen. And finally, in the back room of the convenience store, there's an explosive called Bang Time Fun Bomb.
That's an important fact to know.
Very important from the Simpsons fax machine. Yeah. Well, this was intended to be our season finale for summer break, but now summer break's like way done. So I guess this is our mid-summer break finale, kind of, sort of.
We'll pick things up in December.
In December, yeah. December 2035. Yes. We'll probably be back on the air. I would say like maybe mid-September is usually, I think, when we come back. It's nice having a little break. And we do intend on getting some of those little mini episodes on our Patreon. So if you can't wait for more Simpsons Siblings, check out patreon.com/SimpsonsSibs. And we've also got all of our episodes on YouTube. And just look for Simpsons Siblings on YouTube and hit that. Smash that subscribe button. I don't want any atom of a subscribe button left after you smash it. Yes. We'll see you after summer. And until next time, bye, everybody.